Ooh, it feels good to be back. Season 2 of The Counselor's Connection is back. Socially distanced, of course. And on today's podcast, this is just going to be intro to the new school year. Social distance style, and I'm at home, so I'm not wearing a mask. We're going to talk about what virtual counseling is going to look like. We're also going to discuss schools opening back up. Of course, our housekeeping items and my final thought on what schools should do this first semester and take notes in the second semester from the first semester. As y'all all know, this is the part where I say let go. Oh man, it is August 1st. I'm recording on a Saturday. You know, I like to record on Saturdays. Some segments I might do during the week, but it feels good to be back at an almost rhythm. Some schools should be starting Monday, but this little thing called COVID-19 has put a halt to a lot of plans, a lot of activities. A lot of hard work educators have put in going up to March 13th in this summer. And there's no word for what we're dealing with at the present moment. And we as counselors are in a funny position because how are we supposed to advocate for our kids' social emotional wellness, academic integrity, and our ability to help them become college and career ready, but we don't see them. We're at home. That's the challenge we had for the last 2 months of the school year. It's gonna be a difficult road to hold for this 2020-2021 school year. But as counselors, we are up to the challenge. This is something that none of us would have ever seen in our wildest dreams last school year. But at the same time, with the people that are in charge and in higher levels of government, took this as a hoax. They did not take the aggressive precautions of being proactive versus being reactionary. As you all know, I live in the state of Georgia where we did not shut down Georgia until April 4th or April 10th, something like that. And that was too late. When the first case hit that second week in March, March the 9th, the first two reported cases in Fulton County hit, that's when our state should have shut down. If we'd have shut down all the way to May and did a slow open in phases all the way to now, we possibly, I ain't say it's a guarantee, we possibly could be back in schools right now. But Governor Kemp didn't do that. He also stated that he did not know that you could be asymptomatic with coronavirus. Even though Dr. Fauci and other medical professionals and experts have stated that on numerous occasions. Now we're going to fast forward from March 9th, March 13th, March 20th, all the way to now where cases are still on the rise. Arizona, Georgia, Florida, to name a few, are among the hot spots of the coronavirus. But yet, Florida's trying to reopen in-person schools, in-person for school, for students, for school. Bibb County, a county I previously worked at, is delaying their start to after Labor Day. but they don't know what they're going to do until 2 weeks before. But common sense should tell you Bibb County is one of the hottest spots in Georgia. Hottest spots for rising cases. A lot of counties are adopting August 17th with a virtual start. Some schools are doing August 24th. Some places just say we'll start August 3rd, but we're gonna be virtual until further notice. Maybe the winter semester, but the problem with that also, I commend them for delaying the start, being virtual, all that stuff. The one probably gonna run into is now, if you're gonna try to reopen in January, all that coincides with the flu season. Where you might have the flu, you might have corona. Is there a differentiation for that? Are kids gonna take two different tests, swab tests for coronavirus? I've been quarantined since March, had to go back to work July. I took a test in June. Luckily, I was quarantining myself just to take, because I have a part-time job and they had to shut down. And because somebody had tested positive. I took a test in June. It is August, I still haven't got my results back yet. So I don't know if I survived corona or not. I don't survive corona if I had it. I was feeling okay. I was making sure I was socially distancing. I was at home. Wore a mask if I had to go out. So I ain't had to go out a lot, so it didn't matter. But this year, this calendar year has been for the birds. I thought 2019 was bad for me personally. I thought 2019, my dad dying, both my wife's grandparents dying, my wife's stepfather passing away. I mean, I thought last year was bad. This year, let's say hold my beer. We'll get into a virtual tools for counseling and the pandemic on the next part of the segment. But I just want you counselors to know that you keep your head up. We're built for this. We're adaptable. I have a new principal on my school in Dutchtown, Mr. Wiley. Shout out to him. We always hear the word be flexible. You gotta be able to move, and I think a matrix. When I think flexible, I think of Neo. The word you want us to use is nimble. Well, I always want to look up the actual definition of nimble. I have a working definition of nimble. Nimble means quick and light in movement or action, agile. Of the mind, quick to comprehend. Quick to understand, think, devise, mind, cleverly contrive a story with a nimble plot. Basically, what he wants us to do is, as Bulldogs in our building, we're Dutchtown Bulldogs, is to be able to move quickly and be able to be a little agile. Like Fred Astaire, Sammy Davis Jr., you know, Barry Sanders when he was playing for the Detroit Lions. That type of nimble and quick. So if something changes right then and there, we got to move quick to adjust and then adjust that on the fly. So we got to be able to implement and move. That could be a little difficult. I'm not saying it can't be done, but that's just part of being a counselor, being an educator. As you know, things change, especially right now in the pandemic. We're going to have to be able to be very nimble. We got to be very flexible and nimble, because we got to move quick and be able to bend. Because if you're not nimble and if you're not flexible, you're liable to hurt something. Let's take the fourth analogy. If you're not stretched out and you didn't do any warm-ups, anything like that, and you get ready to play your full-court basketball, you didn't stretch all the way, and you're going to go out there full bore, try to play full court, You're going to tear your hamstring. You're going to tear your Achilles. You're going to be through. Or through. So being nimble and being quick, that helped Jack trip over the candlestick. That's how I look at it. So a lot of things are up in the air as far as what to do, but whatever. We have nothing wrong with having a plan, but it's when that plan, you need to be nimble with that plan and be flexible on how you do it. That's just some opening thoughts I have on right now on the state of education and coronavirus. When we come back, we're going to talk about what should your counseling office look like virtually, like Mad Max, virtual or, but virtually. Keep it locked. So, as you know, a lot of schools are going to be virtual. There might be a few that's going to try to open up in person. I want to pray for those educators and students that are going to be put into that situation that they shouldn't have to be put in. And we all know if a lot of us were thrown into a virtual classroom, Zoom, Google Meets, Teams, a lot of that. The last 2 months of school year is very stressful, zoomed out, teamed out, Google Meet out, whatever you want to use, but we're already going to be at the point where we're going to be that for a little while until either a vaccine is brought in or Georgia decides to shut down and put a mask mandate, which Governor Kemp has put a requisite law saying no city cities may put ordinances in place, even though companies are already doing that. So these companies are in your state, so what you're going to do is stop the companies from doing it, but you can't make your cities do it. But if everybody wears a mask in Georgia, numbers will go down. I'm not going to keep harping on. We would have shut down back in March. We'd have been okay. Not perfect. All the governor had to say, if you want to see Georgia Bulldog play this year, everybody wear masks and sit down in the house. Until I say it's okay to come out. If he'd have said that, I bet you everybody in the state would have worn masks and sat in the house. I bet money on that. But we are here. There's nothing we can do about it. It is what it is. So, as a counselor, we don't teach a class unless you're in a specialist rotation, or we're not an administrator because we don't discipline or master schedule. Wink, wink. How can we be virtual in what we do as counselors? How can we advocate for students and our profession while social distancing? Well, some of the things we're already doing, but we just got to take it to a whole nother level. One thing I've created, I've seen on Facebook and Twitter. Some of you, I know y'all have seen it, the Bitmoji Classroom, the virtual classroom or virtual office. Bitmoji Office can be a very great advocacy tool for students, and it's pretty cool, especially if you have students that are kindergarten through maybe eighth grade. High school is not so much, but they might think it's cool but what you can do with a virtual office, you can leave some things in your office, create hyperlinks inside your Bitmoji or the items you clip and put in your page, and that'll help students define the things they need. Let's say, for instance, I need to make a referral for another student who's dealing with depression or being abused or whatever. You could clip that link and hyperlink it to a different page, to a different part of your page, and students can see on there, make a referral to Mr. Vicks. Click that link, brings up the referral form, confidential, fill it out. Say for instance, I need to make an appointment, Mr. Vicks, talk about my schedule. Same thing, click the link to go to make an appointment, right there. Say, for instance, I want to learn more about different careers. I click the link on for careers. Do it like a career assessment inventory for myself and see what is my personality type, what job fit in that. Am I thinking about doing the right thing? Is this the correct field I want to be in? So there's several ways you can make your Bitmoji classroom work to support your students and parents, especially your parents. So that way you can leave some not breadcrumbs, but you can leave some chicken nuggets put on the fine and put together. So that way you can tell them, hey, did you go to my Bitmoji classroom? It's already on there. So that way you have to keep repeating yourself, or if you're doing lessons, which we'll get into in a minute, virtually, say, don't forget, go to access this, I need you to go here. Another thing, a lot of districts are Microsoft. Our district uses Microsoft and Google Enterprise, I believe. So we use Office 365 for email and whatever, a lot of the different stuff. But they use a lot of the Google platforms, like Google Meets, Google Classroom, Docs, Sheets, Slides, which is where you make your Bitmoji at. It's easy to make your Bitmoji in Google Slides versus PowerPoint. Why, I don't know, but it is what it is, like that. So Google Classroom, even though you don't teach a class, you can use this classroom as a place for students to go to drop off some things for career management, high school scheduling, core curriculum, pre- and post-test data, possible virtual field trips, individual sessions, a link for your Google Meet to meet up with students to do a classroom core curriculum. I'm still getting used to saying core curriculum because, you know, guidance lessons, you know, still gives a connotation of guidance counselor. Core curriculum is more streamlining that. There's a couple ways right off the top there that you can advocate for your students. Now, for your profession with other counselors or administrators, of course, one way to advocate for your profession is to create a website, your school wires website, or your whatever platform your district is using for your website. Get to learn how to use that website. I believe Henry County uses School Wires. I mean, it's very easy to use School Wires versus other platforms to me, because I've used that when I was on my internship. I was able to update Miller's page when I was doing my internship there. It's very easy to use. It's very user friendly, and that way you can keep things up to date as far as your page, and put your weekly calendar on there so parents and admin or anybody in the district might see what Dutch Town's councils are doing this week, or what the 8th grade council are doing. So that way they can see, oh, he's doing a core curriculum on this. So I might ask to be invited to his classroom on this day. Another way to advocate for your profession and your administrators and yourself is professional development virtually. Try to host some professional developments through Google Forms. Reach out to other folks, see if they have any type of professional development that's online or some recorded sessions. Ask them. Did a fairly good job with the conference this year in consideration of the circumstances we're in. First day was a little tough because of the connectivity issues, but that when you have close to 5,400 people logging in at the same time, I mean, you're going to get those issues. So that's not a fault of their own. It's just the clogging of the system just made it a little more difficult and had to put extra elbow grease in to get to work. And the last platform that we're going to be doing, that you can do, is what I'm doing right now, is podcast. This is the best way to talk about profession, get out your personality, learn from other people, invite guests on the show. You know, this is the best, to me, this is the best way to do it, unless you're not camera shy, you want to go on camera and record a YouTube and stream it that way. That's pretty cool. But right now I'm sticking with podcasting because you can listen to it in the car if you want to counsel that drive 40, 50 minutes like me to a job. You want something to listen to, either to work or on the way home. Podcast is that. And plus I'm an auditory learner. I'm auditory and kinetic. So if I'ma listen to something, I'm gonna retain it a little bit more than I would just reading it. Then if somebody actually had me do it, I'll remember how to do it faster if I keep doing it repetitively versus somebody talking to me how to get it. You're saying, well, somebody talking to you and somebody's doing a podcast about the same thing, Fabian. Like, well, not really. Because if it's pre-recorded and I'm in my own space, in my own time, I could do it. As far as somebody talking to me how to do it, it's a little more difficult. I actually need to have my hands on it because that's how I learn to do a lot of stuff. Once I learn how to do it, once I see to do it and actually do it, you shouldn't have to reteach me how to do it unless it's something I haven't done in a long time. So those are just a couple of other ways that you could be a virtual counselor. I know there's plenty of other ways that's out there to do it. Ask us, put out a position statement on virtual counseling. So this is going to be interesting to see what counsel will look like, at least for the most part, for the first half of this school year. Now, I'm a little rusty, so I actually haven't did a podcast in a couple months, so I'm a little rusty on this. So we're going to have my housekeeper items coming up next, you know. Then, of course, we're going to have my final thought on my summer win. So keep it locked. Now, this is part of the show where we tell you about all the things that's upcoming this year and how to follow our podcast and all that type of stuff. Like I said, I told you I'm rusty, so I said that last segment. So, of course, you can follow me on Twitter, the Twitter, at Fabe, F-A-B as in boy, E, the P-S-E. You can also follow my middle school DMS Council Department. They're also on Twitter. You can go on to fabethecounselor.weebly.com. You can follow me on Anchor, anchor.fm/Fabian-Vix. You can also listen to our podcast on a plethora of platforms. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, of course, Anchor, and Apple Podcasts, just to name a few. You go to anchor.fm/Fabian-Vix. It tells you all the places where you can find us at on our for your listening pleasure. This year, what we're planning on doing, we're going to be reaching out to various school counselors and counselor educators across the country to try to promote professional development in different areas. A good friend of my friend of the show, Steve Sharp, gave me this idea that had the folks that's proficient in this and have presented on all this topic and has a passion for some of these things for professional development, have them come on the show, let them talk about it. I'm like, man, that is a great idea. You thought of it better. So he helped me create a letter to reach out to some folks, and hopefully this coming up school year we'll have some folks come on the podcast, talk about some of the passion they love. You know, it could be range for anything from comprehensive school counseling program to social injustice. We could just talk about comics and how they apply to counseling. We can do that too. That might be an episode right there. Or music therapy. That's something I want to try to step into, music therapy, because some of y'all don't know this. I also play saxophone, and how music therapy can change the outlook of a student and change their mood and behaviors and promote positivity for them. So that's something I want to reach out to do. Of course, there is my parent portal. Voice message link where I've been trying to get folks to leave voice messages on here, good or bad. I'm not gonna get mad. it's for all for the good, all for becoming better. So that link is on the Anchor page. Leave a voice message or voice memo to me. We'll play it on the show. We'll respond to it. Just find the link and we'll be more than happy to respond to it for you. Hopefully, of course, I know Steve will be back on the show sometime this year. I really want to have Ryan Coleman on so we can just talk about what school counseling looks like for him. We want to have some more guests on here. So anybody's listening to the podcast, tell them to hit me up. You know, chop it up about school counseling. I mean, that's all we're doing here. And if you're on Facebook, follow the Council Connection page on Facebook with Fabian Vicks. Council Connection with Fabian Vicks. So, like I said, I'm a little rusty. I've been doing my other podcast with my guys about sports, so I can get back in the flow of doing educational stuff now. So, my final thought is going to come up in just a second on my summer. Faye's final thought. I won't keep saying this. I'm rusty, so I'm a little rusty on this. So it's been a couple months since I recorded my podcast. I want to take some time off. This summer has been so different. For one, can't go nowhere because I don't want to die. So I don't want corona. Don't want to give my family corona. I don't want to be nowhere near corona. So I don't want to be where you are, corona. I don't got to be where you are. So my summers suck as far as any travel plans or taking the kids somewhere, even if it was just to Savannah for a day or two. Cause that's our go-to vacation right there. We go to Savannah, hit Crab Shack up and just come back. That is something that we're used to doing, something going at least seeing my mom, because everybody keep in mind, for those that don't know, my mom had a kidney transplant 6 years ago. She has underlying condition, of course, because immune system. And I was staying there with my mom when I first started in Henry County. Stay there 1-2 days a week. So I wanted to use up, you know, a lot of driving or whatever. I could stay there because it's a shorter drive to go to my mom's house than versus me come from my house in middle Georgia up here to home alone. So I haven't seen my mom in 4.5 months. She hasn't seen my wife, haven't seen our kids, her grandkids in 4.5 months. And it sucks. So that's part two of this summer, how it sucks. Kids been stuck in the house. Chloe, she about to be a high schooler. They did a drive-through graduation for the 8th grade, and it wasn't the same as seeing them, you know, walk across the stage and getting their certificates and by cheering on and seeing her friends one last time. And Layla, she going to 7th grade and didn't really get to see her friends. And this is a big effect on kids as far as social emotional piece and communication and group gatherings with kids, because this is what they do. So that part of the summer has sucked. One good thing about this summer for me is that I'm also a 220-day employee, which means I had to work all the way through to middle of June. Once I worked through the middle of June, had 2 weeks away from anything school-related, and then I had to hop right back on the horse July 1. And that's a good feeling, because you get some type of normalcy. Even though everything's not normal. It might seem like I'm rambling right now, but I'm looking at my summer in two halves. The first half of the summer where the kids have been out. We can't take them anywhere. It sucks. But this second half of the summer, now we're getting into, they get really excited about going to a new school. And Chloe started a new chapter in high school. Layla started 7th grade. My older two daughters about to pretty much start their senior year at Fort Valley State. They're on track to graduate possibly spring or fall 2021. I gotta look at the hours. I can't remember, but they're getting ready to graduate. Also, my wife's birthday is coming up. My birthday's coming up. Our anniversary is this month. So those are good things to look at. I was able to go to ASCA at home, of course, but I was able to attend via scooter, and I appreciate them. But the last thing that made my summer complete is when, you know, your state conferences where you apply for presentations. You have it too. For us, our conference is in November. Of course, it's Savannah. You have until like mid-May, early June. I think they extended out a little bit to give us a little more time to get that presentation ready, to get your proposal ready for conference. So I decided to turn two in this year. One for integrating data in your comprehensive program and promoting your comprehensive program. And we got our email yesterday. It was fairly early. I got the email about 2 o'clock, 2:30. Usually they send about 5-6 o'clock in the evening. So I looked at that joker and said, both my proposal got approved. So I'm excited about presenting again. So the last 3 years I presented some capacity, the last 4 years, excuse me, I presented to some capacity. In 2017, I presented to Region 4 when I was in Bibb County. 2018, I presented at GSCA. 2019, I presented for a new school council for GADOE. And this year, I presented for GSCA. On top of that, also, you know, I'm still the beginning editor. It's my second year as the editor. And that's a lot of responsibility that folks are trusting me with, crazy old me, to do. So, I'm up for the challenge. I'm also scared of the challenge too, because we don't know what this year's gonna look like. We really don't. So, despite being home in a pandemic, I'm still advocating for my profession in the pandemic. So don't let this pandemic keep you from advocating for your kids, your peers, your colleagues, your profession, in your school. It might have sucked the first couple months, but now we're back kind of in a groove right now. There's still some things we could do to continue to push the profession along in a safe manner, of course. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast. Like I said, I'm rusty. I took a couple months off. I should have worked this summer on my podcast, but I was trying to enjoy the summer somewhat, taking a break from it. And I'm out.